So this Sunday, the church continues her celebration of our Lord's ascension to heaven, an event that took place 40 days, as we read in Acts, after Easter this past Thursday. And as we read in the Gospel, our Lord led the disciples as far out as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them and was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And you'll notice that the Paschal candle, the Easter candle, the symbol of the risen Christ present among his disciples, has been put out to symbolize that departure of our Lord from this earthly realm. Nevertheless, Ascensiontide reminds us of the bigger picture. We are quite literally having to raise our eyes to heaven, and our noses are so often put to the grindstone that we forget to look up. Now, in the epistle this morning from Ephesians, Paul has this to say about the ascension. He says, "Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and gave gifts to men." There is a bishop of the church who has a Greek inscription on his ring, "Houdoulos to Christou," which means you are a servant of Christ. And whenever that bishop looks at his ring, it reminds him, it recalls him, it accuses him, it strengthens him. You are a servant of Christ. And so am I, and so are you. Now, I bring both of these things up, giving gifts to men and being a servant of Christ, because today we begin our renewal of time and talent. We used to do this every year at this time, but for the last couple of years, it's somehow gotten away from us. But in any case, the goal is that everyone who makes this church their spiritual home will make a pledge of time and talent. A form was mailed to your house this past week, and I'll make sure that it's available electronically on our website. And then what we do is we gather all of those forms in next Sunday, the day of Pentecost, and the clergy and the lay leadership of the parish plan out the program for the fall based on your pledge of time and talent. So I want to say a brief word about each of those today. First, time. Writing to the church at Corinth, St. Paul says this. He says, "Brethren, the time is short, and indeed it is. God has given each one of us a time to live, a time to love, a time to give, and he means that that time be productive. In many ways, time is more precious than money. Money is a renewable resource, but time is finite. Now, some people always seem to have too much time on their hands. Some people have too little time on their hands. Most of us are somewhere in between. And yet, we're all given exactly the same amount of time, 1,440 minutes in a day, to invest, to spend, or to waste. And with time, we always have to be asking ourselves, what in the long run is of the greatest value?" Ever have those dreams where you're missing an exam or an assignment in school and it pops up every once in a while? Well, I have a dream that pops up several times a year. And in that dream, I'm standing before the dread judgment seat of Christ. And there are two piles. There's this huge pile of time over here. And these are things that are worth really nothing, in the grand scheme of things, and certainly nothing in the scheme of eternity. And it's huge. And then over here, there's a little tiny anthill of time that I've spent on the things of God. And it scares me to death when I think of those two piles, one huge, one very small. And I'm often reminded that many of the saints, when you read their lives, at some point in their life, took a solemn vow before God to never waste a moment of time. Now, I can't take that vow because I know I'll break it. But I can resolve, God be my helper. You can resolve to even out these piles a little bit. I can always remember to ask myself, what in the long run is of the greatest value? And I implore you, as I remind myself, to make God and His church a priority in the way that you spend your time. And in so doing, we mysteriously sanctify all of our time. What is it that Jesus says? Seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and then all this other stuff will be yours as well. So time and talent. Because God means our time to be productive, He gives us knowledge and skills and various abilities, talents if you will, to make our time on earth fruitful. We all know our Lord's parable of the talents. The master goes away. He puts his gold in the hands of his servant. One person is given 5 talents, another 2, another 1, each according to his ability. 2 of his servants spent time and ability in trade, turning a profit. 1 servant opts for irresponsibility and the easy way out. He buries his talent in the ground, and he kills time until his master returns. And while a talent is a gold coin, this is not a parable about investment strategy. This is a parable about the totality of our life and what we do with it. Each one of us has been given capital by God. The issue is not how much we've been given, but what do we do with what we've received? What are you doing with how little or how much you've been given? This week, sort of look inside and say, what resources, what talents has God given me? What am I doing with them? An important part of growing into that spiritual maturity that Paul talked about in the epistle is discovering our own strengths and how we might use them to glorify God and to help others. You have been given great worth. What are you doing with it? Again, back to the epistle. When Christ ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gift to his people. Why did he give those gifts? For the building up of the body of Christ. God gave you time, God gave you talents, not so that you could bury them, not so that you can hoard them, but so that you can suspend them on others, and especially those of the household of faith. You are a servant of Christ. What is it that we pray at the end of Mass every Sunday? Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Now, on one level, we are servants because it is necessary for the proper functioning of the household. If there is to be a Sunday school, for example, there must be people who teach. If the church is to be properly ordered for worship, there must be an altar guild, and so on. If I were to riff off the epistle, I'd say something like this. And his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, some choir members, some serve in the flower guild, some readers, some weed the garden, some cook casserole, some be confirmation, some be ushers, and so on, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So whatever your talents, and everybody has at least one, whatever your talents, God gave them to you so that you can spend them on others. Think about it. God has brought you here and kept you here for a reason. And it may be that you have a talent that very few others have and that we as a family need. So please don't rely on others to be doing what you yourself should be doing. In other words, don't be a pew potato. You are important, you are unique, and without your time and talent, our common life is diminished. Final word. All we are expected to do in this life, and it's a big all, it's a lifetime of all we are expected to do in this life is to remember not only who we are, but whose we are. You are a servant of Christ. By virtue of your baptism, you are a servant of the King. Baptism brings us into the family of God, where we are to be his soldiers and servants until our life's end, as the old prayer book puts it. God loves us. God cares for you. You are a treasure to him. You are a facet of his glory. And the best news of all is to those who are faithful servants in this life, one day God will say, I call you servants no longer, but instead I call you my friends.